Fevzi is here to answer your calls, offer you advice on the technology in your life. I have a question for you, actually. In fact, I nearly tweeted you over the weekend to ask you this.
Gosh, must have been desperate.
I was desperate, Fevzi.
You never write, you never phone.
So, I need your help. As I've been boring everyone with, we have moved out of our house. We're going to be out for the next 6 months. And so I'm thinking, does it make sense to cancel our broadband TV phone package altogether and then restart it in 6 months' time? It's one of those things, you phone the advice helpline or whatever, by the time you eventually get through and explain the situation, they just sort of, the computer says no. You can't temporarily suspend your contract, it would appear, for 6 months. So it's either cancel keep it.
I mean, unless you're sort of what they call grandfathered in some amazing price that you can never get back again, then the general advice would be to cancel it, not least because once you've cancelled it for a while, they'll start begging you to come back with all sorts of deals.
Well, like that's what I thought.
Sky will send you something saying 60% off eventually.
Yeah, although they are saying that I will lose my home phone number, but that's no great loss. I never answer the thing anyway because I never know who it is. I'm always screening my calls, so I never answer it.
Yeah, well, if that's not a big loss, also, you may lose it anyway. So it depends if you're going to be in the area, whether you can transfer that number to somewhere else. So, you know, right, to another provider.
The thing I am concerned about, though, are my emails. Now, if I cancel my account with my broadband provider, how long will I have access to those emails? As soon as I cancel the contract, is that it? Do they delete my email account or how does it work?
Different companies are different. They may give you a grace period. They may give you an undertaking to let you keep the account. But I think also, it's difficult if you're going to want this. The best general advice, and you're not going to like me when I say this, is not to use the email address provided by your internet service provider, because when you change your internet service provider, you have to change your email. Much better to register, I don't know, alisonferns.com, and then it doesn't matter. You could use Gmail underneath that, so you give out that email address to people. This might be an opportunity to make, you know, bite the bullet and make this change.
Yeah.
So you register a suitable domain name for yourself. It costs you about £10 a year to keep that. And then any incoming email that goes to, let's say, for example, alison@alisonferns.com could then be forwarded to, say, a Gmail account or another account.
I like
account.
The sound of alisonferns.com. I'm Googling as we speak.
See if it's gone or not.
It's probably gone.
Oh, I've just got it. Okay.
Yeah, how much do you really want it? Set your price, Pepsi.
Yes. So that's much better for a number of reasons. One is whenever you change internet service provider, you don't have to change the email address. So if you change, let's say you're with Gmail and then for some strange reason you go to Yahoo or whatever, it doesn't change the email you give to people, which would still be, you know, Alison@alisonferns.com, etc. So you can do that. Also, when you're then registering on different websites for different services, let's say you don't want to give them your main address because you only want to do it for that. So let's say you register with Netflix. So then you give them an email address, let's say Netflix@alisonferns.com. Mm. That will still work because anything at alisonferns.com will come to you. And the real benefit is, let's say they get hacked and don't tell you, but you start getting spam on that Netflix email address, you'll know that they've been hacked. You can just switch off that email address and replace it with a new one. Again, you don't have to change your email address just because you're getting lots of spam. So it's really good. And if they get hacked and they try and use your email address to get into other sites that you might be registered with, say banking or Amazon or whatever it is, then you'll be using a different email address, so they'll get nowhere with that.
Ah, clever.
So
what happens about redirecting mail, though? I mean, obviously, you know, if you move house and you want to redirect your post, you go to, you know, Royal Mail and you can get that sorted. Does the same apply with emails
only if you continue to own or have access to the original email address. So you can just simply set it up to forward anything. You can do this in your you know, email program, let's say use Microsoft Outlook or whatever. Anything that goes into there can automatically be forwarded, but that's only for as long as you have access to the original email address. So for that reason, you'll have to speak to them about what they're willing to do for you on that. But, you know, this is the weakness, because they've really got you. It's not like a phone number where you can just transfer it. You know, you can't run a Yahoo email address through Google servers, you know, not in a useful way anyway. So, you know, it depends how desperate you are. I mean, what I would say is use the time you've got to send out emails to everyone that matters, saying this is my new email address, and then speak to your company about you know, whether there's any way to have continued access just to the email.
Yeah, I already asked them. They said no.
Not surprised, because that's
how they get you. That's how they keep you.
That's their lever, which is why when you own your own domain, you can just move it around, and you know, you're not beholden to anybody. You can move around your providers and it doesn't affect your email address.
And good news, Alison Ferns with 2Ls.com is available.
Fantastic. Grab it quickly.
grab it. Buy it. Only 99p.
Yeah, that's for the first year. It'll cost you about a tenner a year after.
Oh,
that.
No, you're right. Yeah, additional years, £13.10. Always look at the small print. Yes. That's what Fevzi does. You can get in touch if you have a question for our gadget detective. You can call 03 459 57 0057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Fevs, you always likes to tell us about his gadget of the week. This one sounds very impressive. This is a multi-room TV and smart media player.
Yeah, so this is a little box. It's the footprint, the size it takes up on your table is about the size of a beer mat, it essentially turns a dumb TV into a smart TV. That's to say, a television set that can access programs, audio, films, all sorts of things over the internet. But it's got a few other tricks up its sleeve. So you plug it in to the TV set. You need one with an HDMI socket, which almost every modern TV now has. And then you attach the device to the internet. And that can be either using a cable from your router called an Ethernet cable, or it can be via Wi-Fi if you're a Wi-Fi user. So then you've got basically data coming in over the internet through the box onto your TV screen. So what could that be? That could be if you're a subscriber to Netflix, for example, you want to watch films, movies, you can do it via that. The app is already on there. You can watch YouTube content on a nice big screen in your home, you know, with a nice remote control and user interface. That's good. Also comes with a TV player app as well, which is not a free service, but they give you 2 months free of that, and that gives you all sorts of content as well. So you can access all this internet programming. If you've got some other Humax equipment, such as their Freeview player, it will also beam all those channels over your home network to the other box, to this little box in the other room, as it were. So it will do that for you. Similarly, they do a camera, a small, something called the IHD cloud camera, which is a little webcam, but it doesn't require it to be attached to a computer. Now, if you've got one of those, or if you think you might get one of those, the benefit is you can then watch the streamed output of that camera on your TV screen, which is kind of nice as well. I do like that, yeah. And also not just live output, but also recordings as well. You can play them back and record and so forth. So this is like, it can work standalone, as I've said, but you can also use it to access all sorts of content, either from a Humax box, but it also works with certain standards. So potentially you could stream things from a smartphone or a tablet or a desktop computer. All sorts of devices can stream content to it, and it can be not only video, but it can also be photographs. Your music collection could stream, and your smartphone, be it iOS or Android, can also act as a remote control for the device as well.
How clever. Does it cost a fortune?
It doesn't cost a fortune. I found it at £79 today. I wrote 59 in the notes because I wasn't paying attention, but it's about £79, and I think it's good value. So if you don't have any other Humax equipment, I'd say 3.5 stars out of 5. So, yeah, around 70%. Alternatively, if you own any of those other bits of Humax kit I mentioned, then that rises to 4 out of 5 because its usefulness increases.
Now, though, we're talking gadgets with Fevzi, our gadget detective. If you've got a question for Fevzi, you can get in touch. The number 03 459 57 0057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. All right, we've got this lovely text message, actually, from Sylvia. Fevzi, we were talking earlier about this new charity, and they've been set up so that volunteers can visit hospices and record people's life stories, so that people will always have a recording of their loved one when sadly they're no longer here. And Sylvia's got in touch to say, I have treasured voices on my answer phone too, because we heard earlier from the actor David Suchet, he's still got the answer phone message of his mum, who's no longer here. And we were saying just how powerful these recordings can be. Sylvia says, actually, her parents are still on planet Earth, but they are in their 80s. And so she keeps these lovely answer phone messages to treasure. She says also, sadly, my mother-in-law isn't with us. And I used to call her Mother Bear. And I still play her answer phone message. And whenever I play it and hear her voice, it brings back wonderful memories. And I suppose nowadays, thanks to technology, it's never been easier, actually, to make your own recording.
That's true, be it audio or video. And it's amazing that, you know, often when people pass away, we realize, you know, we don't necessarily have, you know, good video of them or just of them sitting and talking. You know, you may have snaps and so forth. But so I guess there's two aspects to this, isn't there? One is, whilst people are alive, you know, we can more easily make those recordings, and your smartphone, you know, can be excellent in quality, worth maybe just propping it up against something rather than trying to handhold it for a sort of, if you're doing a sort of heart-to-heart interview, because as you start sobbing, the camera starts moving.
Yeah. But if you are recording something on a smartphone, though, if it is something somebody wants to do at home, there are some kind of tricks of the trade, aren't there? So, for example, which way round should you hold it to film?
Well, yeah, so it depends on how sophisticated you want to be. I mean, if you know, you need it to be simple, then you will just, if you're doing an audio recording, the trick is to hold the microphone towards them, which will typically be towards the base of the smartphone, because it will be the same mic as when you make a phone call, so it will be towards the bottom, and hold it, you know, a few inches away from them without spooking them too much. I mean, don't be, you know, several feet away, because you'll pick up echo from the room around. Sure. Some smartphones, if you want to be smart about it, will allow you to plug in a sort of separate little microphone and clip it to the person, but that's bit more sophisticated. But even if you're just using the smartphone itself, hold it close to. And the other thing I'd say, you know, this will apply to any recordings you're about to make or any that you already have, is one recording is not a recording. You really need to make backups of that, because this is something that obviously is irreplaceable.
Sure.
You need to make copies. And even if it's on an answering machine, you've got audio of that person leaving you a message, for example, you know, even if it's a case of just putting your smartphone against, you know, near the speaker of that, and replaying it and recording it onto your smartphone, that's a good first step thing to do. You can always tidy that up on a computer later and make it sound better. Mm. Some sort of home phones and answering machines have got a capability of taking an audio output via a wire, but that's less common.
Right.
So I would say, you know, before you do anything else, back it up onto something like a smartphone or another recording device, and then back that up as well. So, for example, once it's on your smartphone, you can connect that to a laptop or a desktop computer and copy that file across and make copies of it and keep it safe, because it, you know, it's tragic if you lose something like that. And it's happened to me, actually. I lost a very prized recording off a smartphone, and you know, I cursed myself because I would listen to it. I would listen to it, and then suddenly I couldn't anymore, and I thought, you know, what a dummy, you tell people to do it and you don't do it yourself.
So can I ask what it was a recording of?
Yeah, it was a friend I lost, so you know, it's and it was an answering machine message, so you know,
I'm sorry.
That's okay, but you know,
that is why you're so keen on this message. Back it up, back it up, back
the
it up.
Cobbler's children have no shoes. I give advice to other people, but I go around with
that. Don't always practice what you preach.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
So,
guilty
but,
of that.
But, you know, take a leaf out of my book, as it were, and just don't worry about making it a perfect recording. Just make a recording. You can always go back and make a better one later when you work out how.
Yeah.
Just make a recording of it and then back up that recording somewhere else.
Yeah. Jim's given us a call from Red Hill. So, Jim, you want to copy something from an old video, is that right?
Yes, well, it's somewhat similar to what you've just been talking about, but I've got an old video recorder with lots of TV programmes. I like to watch from time to time, but it no longer records, and I'm worried it will die in the future.
Mm.
I'm wondering if there's some way of copying the programmes off a video recorder onto another mechanism to record them so I can watch them in the future.
Right. And so the recordings themselves, are they on, for example, VHS videotape, or are they on a hard drive within the machine? How are they stored?
So they're on a hard drive.
They're on a hard drive. Yeah. Okay. So, but it no longer records. Do you have, on the recording device, do you have the ability to send those recordings out via cables to another recorder?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, it's only got, I think it's only got a SCART output.
It's got a SCART output. Yeah, it's probably got some others, but you don't think there's a digital output on it, no?
I'm not aware of one.
Okay.
If there was one, could I use that? I don't know. Perhaps I should look.
It depends, because if it's... In theory, if you can get a digital output via something like HDMI or something, and a recorder that has an HDMI input and records it, that's a very neat way of doing it, and you can do it without losing any quality because it's basically copying the digits from one medium to the other medium. Some machines stop you doing it because of copyright concerns, so it depends what the recordings are. Some of them may have copyright restrictions built into the digits, as it were, to stop it, but you could try that. That would be the cleanest recording that you can get. Failing that, you can take the analog output, which could be the SCARTs or it could be other analog connectors on the back, and again put those into a digital recorder, so a similar device to what you've got but one that can still record, and copy them across. Another possibility is, instead of using a bespoke recorder for that, you could buy a device that allows you to record onto a computer. If you use a laptop or desktop computer, you could record onto that and then store it onto disks as well.
Would that come out of the HDMI, or would that come out of which socket?
You could do either. So if let's say the HDMI out is not available, or it's nobbled for copyright reasons, then it means that you'll play back the recordings in real time. So a 1 hour program will take you 1 hour to play out, and then record it as if it was recording from any other source. And you record it either into the computer using an analog to digital converter, which is a little box that you can buy, or you record it onto another device that's designed to record TV shows, and just take the output of yours and take it to the input of the other one. So I would do that. Some of the devices that you get have got the ability to record either onto a internal hard drive, and some of them also have a recording disc as well, so they can record onto DVD. And the benefit of that is, as that hard drive fills up, you can offload or archive what you want onto a DVD disc, and it means you can make backups of the hard drive recordings and keep them somewhere else safe, so that a hard drive on a will eventually fail. I mean, it may go a good number of years, but a hard drive will fail. And for that reason, it's a good idea to make a backup onto another form of medium, such as a DVD.
That's definitely the message of today. Back it up.
It is.
Fevzi, thank you so much. I always appreciate it. If people want to get some more advice off you, they can follow you on Twitter.
They can. Come and say hello at Gadget Detective. If you've got any questions we didn't get through today, be happy to try and help.
And they can also listen to the Tech Phone-In at the Let's Talk About Tech podcast.
Yes.